The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season continues at MyBookie, and they're now offering a free $20 bet with the promo code SGP20. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP20 to get a free $20 bet with your first deposit. We're also brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use promo code SGP for an instant deposit match up to $50. That's thrivefantasy.com, promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. Welcome everyone to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean Stacking the Money Green with my two Die Hard Eagles fan friends, Justin and Rob. Let's get things going. Coming off a disappointing loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a chance to win this game. Justin, we'll allow you to start. What is your opening rant regarding the Eagles' loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Man, that was such a tough game. And I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was just the secondary. And I know I said it last week. I said, if we were going to win the game, the key thing we needed on defense was for the secondary to step up. And they obviously didn't. A huge stat that stood out was Roethlisberger was 13 for 13 for 158 yards and two touchdowns on third down. I mean, that's just insane. Those numbers are insane. And I mean, I know we talk about the D line getting some pressure on Roethlisberger, but he was just getting the ball out way too quick. And we needed the secondary to do something in order to stop some of that. And I mean, going 13 for 13 on third down is just abysmal in my mind. I mean, we can point out Gary. I mean, was obviously a huge liability and somebody that people have been talking about not only this week, but you know, within the past five games.
And you know what? I'm considering burning my Nate Gary jersey. That's it. I've had it. Everyone wants to say that Nate Gary is the slow white guy, but I was listening to another podcast and they pointed out he's actually really fast. Like the guy ran track at Nebraska. He's actually a speedy white guy who just has no idea where to line up in the defense. And Rob, I feel like I'm setting you up for your rant on this loss. What do you got? Who are you pissed at this week?
Guys, I'm pissed at one guy. And I got a confession to make. I'm out. He's out. He's got to go. Jim Schwartz. I have been, you know, I'm on a roller coaster ride with Jim Schwartz for years now. And even the Super Bowl season, I mean, we gave up what, like 600 yards in that Super Bowl. And, you know, he has these games that just blow your mind from a schematic perspective where it just makes no sense. He's stubborn. He does not adapt. And then he'll have one game that's like, great. And you're like, okay, well, you know, he did a great job. Maybe we should keep him. But, you know, after last game, I'm out. There are fundamental flaws with the way he plays defense. Yeah, we have a great defensive line. We get pressure. His whole scheme is based around that. But you can't just ignore the deficiencies of the secondary. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, he can only do so much. He doesn't have talent. He's dealing with the players he was given. But I'm sorry, if you're a top defensive end, you have to scheme better. We know on that third down play that cost us the game, Nate Gary was lined up against Claypool. Claypool torched us for four touchdowns that game, including that play. Hey, Jim, why don't we call a timeout? Maybe that's not a favorable matchup to us. I mean, Gary almost fell over. Not to mention, quarterbacks are perfect throwing against him for the season. So should this really be surprised? I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was licking his chops when he saw this. So, you know, I'm just over it. I think Jim's scheme is fundamentally flawed. you know, you're already hearing things come out too, like, you know, Slay saying, well, it's really hard to get interceptions in this scheme, or, you know, I just think it's enough. It's gotten stale. Everyone gives him credit for our defensive line getting pressure. But let me be honest, any good defensive coordinator is going to get pressure with that line. I mean, it's one of the top two or three lines in the league.
Yeah.
So those guys are going to get pressure.
We've spent so much money and draft capital on that defensive line. They should be able to get pressure. And you know, even the couple times he's brought blitzes on third down, you're bringing a blitz and then you still like on a third and eight, and then you still have Jalen Mills sitting 10 yards back. It's like, you can't do that. You can't have Jalen Mills play off. Like Jalen Mills, for him to be successful, he has to create some contact at the line of scrimmage. Same with Rasul Douglas.
Exactly. And Sean, let me just finish this, cause I've been stewing on this all week. And not just that, but this picket fence defense. Why are we playing this? We see it all the time. They need 5 yards for a first down and our CBs are 10 yards off. What is he doing? It's stupid. He gets less aggressive on third down and these teams just run all over us. And I get this bend don't break, whatever, but I'm just out on him. He needs to go. You got me on the record. He might have a fantastic week next week, but he's going to slip again and the consistency is not there.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause you look at Schwartz's career with the Eagles, his points per game is usually like over the season or whatever. It's usually pretty good, but it feels like every three or four games, we just have a complete collapse scheme wise. And there was enough talent out there to get some stops against this Steelers defense. Like, yeah, certainly we were outmatched to a certain degree, but the team came back. I mean, Wentz had that that one bad pick, but the team rallied. He had some great drives. Travis Fulgham was going off, but the defense just needed to get a couple stops. The most frustrating part of the entire thing is there's literally no adjustments. It'd be like in basketball, if one guy goes for 60 points, you can't just let one guy beat you. After the second Chase Claypool touchdown, I'm doing something different on the defensive side of the ball. Let someone else beat you. Just, I mean, because at the very least, it's a morale crusher to just have Chase Claypool get his fourth fucking touchdown. Like, doesn't that rattle everyone's confidence? And Nate Gary clearly has no confidence. I just can't imagine a world where Davion Taylor, the third round pick. I get it. He's a project. And again, what world are we living in where we have the luxury of taking a project quarterback in the second round and a project quarterback in the third round? Where would it, what are we, Bob Vila over here with the roster? We could have just a home improvement projects all year round. Like, no, what are you doing? We need in the second and third round, we need starters that can contribute right away. You know, like Miles Sanders, when we drafted him in the second round, it was clear, okay, this guy is going to help us pretty soon here. And he had a really good rookie year. Dallas Goedert, same thing. Oh, he's a good second round talent. He can contribute right away. Same thing in the third round. We have these guys, and I'm not going to defend Jim Schwartz, but to me, all these problems point back to one man who emerged out of the equipment locker and helped put together the Super Bowl winning roster. And for that, he has my respect, but the time is really in the hourglass, just going away for Howie Roseman. Like it feels like the guys, the young talent we have are almost succeeding in spite of the general manager, not because of it. Like the guys that we have that randomly pop are guys that like, they just stumbled into and had no idea should be playing. But again, switching up to the positive. So I'm out on Howie Roseman, but I do have a case of Fulgham fever. I think this guy is legit. Now we've had moments of mirages of guy, a receiver having a good game here or there. Certainly DeSean Jackson last year with the two touchdowns, 150 yards, but Travis Fulgham, I mean, he seems legit. And what I really liked to see was that he was making contested catches. I liked where he was putting his hands to bring the ball in. And Wentz was like, it wasn't like Greg Ward who just sat in open space and Wentz could find him, whatever. He was a good route runner. It's something that's not is, you know, a nice addition, but isn't like a big number one receiver thing. Like Fulgham is just getting good position and making great catches with his hands. I loved what we saw out of Fulgham and maybe the brightest spot so far in this 2020 season. Justin, where are you at with Fulgham? Are you buying in on the hype?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely buying in on the hype. I think he's for real. I think he's, I know it's only two games, but you can see his talent right off the bat, like you pointed out, making contested catches, but also something we're seeing from him that we don't normally see from anybody who catches a ball on our team is some yak. I mean, we got to see, you know, a few yards after catch,
yeah,
in this game, which was really nice because typically I'm so used to seeing a receiver or a tight end, Ertz, not to name anybody, get tackled immediately within 2 yards, and then that's the play and it's over. But he was able to break a couple tackles too on some plays, so that was really nice to see.
And speaking of Mr. Ertz, Mr. Julie Ertz over here, like, can we get you fighting for a ball? I know that ball that went through wasn't amazing, but clearly Ertz got contacted and then he just kind of stopped running the route. Was, if you watch the replay of the interception, he's turned to the ref looking for the flag, and Wentz is expecting him cutting in. Now, yeah, mm-hmm. Wentz has had some accuracy issues, although you could say like this is one of his more accurate games, and certainly maybe having Fulgham or a reliable number one receiver makes a big deal. And they even brought it up to Ertz, and he said this, which again wasn't taking any sort of responsibility for just not getting open enough this season. He said, well, now that the outside receivers are making plays, that'll open up things over the middle. It's like, dude, you're the one that has to get open. Like, yeah, I get it. Maybe people are trying to cover you, but we were trying to cover George Kittle and that didn't stop him from having 15 receptions and 170 yards or whatever. So if you want to get this big contract, which you were belly aching for, like, show us why we should be giving you that contract. And the fact that he's letting this contract dispute it clearly impact his play, or he's just washed physically, which I don't think's the case. It seems way more of a mental thing. The fact that he's letting this impact his play on the field shows he's not worth the contract. Robbie, where are you at with Ertz right now?
Well, Ertz is playing so soft and I can't take it. I mean, he's been soft his whole career with falling over, and you know, every time he gets touched, you know, you put a finger on him. But this whole thing, I don't know if it's his contract, if you know, him and Wentz just aren't as close anymore, but something's up and he is not the same guy. And I completely agree with you, Sean. You can't use this excuse that you're getting doubled, because the truly elite guys in the league, which is what he considers himself and what he wants to be paid as, they find ways to get open. Whether you're being doubled or not, you know, it's his job and Doug's job, quite honestly, as a coach, to scheme for it, to get him open and to get him plays. He does have good hands. He catches most things that are thrown on him. Completely agree with you. He let up on that ball. That interception is 50% on him, 50% on Wentz for not a great ball. So, you know, look, as it stands now, I'm not signing him to a long-term extension. Quite honestly, if someone gave me a great deal for a trade, which I don't think you'll get, I'd listen very hard, you know, especially with Goddard. I think Goddard's going to be the better tight end in very short order. And I just want to go back to Fulgham because I'm buying this guy. I, you know, it's two games, but I'm seeing things from him that I haven't seen from receivers on this team in a long time. He's fighting for the ball, you know, not, you know, he's attacking. He's not waiting for the ball to come to him. And he's making contested catches, which is really great to see. And he's winning those contests. I read a stat online that I think is telling. You know, Wentz is passer rating when throwing to Fulgham is 158.3. His passer rating throwing to everyone else is 64.6. So clearly so far, and we're obviously in a small window of two games, there's something between them that is just clicking, and we got to ride that wave. They better not take snaps again away from him. He needs to be in there, and he should be the top target right now.
Yeah, completely agree. And this, as we kind of transition to the season as a whole here, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Wentz, but perfect transition to our hypothetical question of the week brought to you by Justin. Hypothetical question. If DeSean Jackson and Alshon are back, now we're taping this on a Thursday afternoon, early evening. They're both practicing and both seemingly healthy. Again, you could go off on Howie Roseman for Alshon Jeffrey. Like, why was he not on the PUP list? Like, he's going to miss six games. Like, you could have had a roster spot there. You could have had a roster spot putting Deshaun on the short-term IR. They waited a week to put Jalen Reagor on the short-term IR. Like, they're just fucking up this shit left and right. But if Deshaun and Alshon are back, and it's easy to just say cut them both and whatever, but clearly they seem to want to get them involved somewhat. And again, like, it feels like they just want to play him just out of the fact of how much money they're paying these guys. But Justin, yeah, who are your three starting receivers, your two outside guys, and who do you put in the slot come Sunday, assuming Deshaun and Alshon are healthy and able to play, which it seems like there's a chance they will be.
Okay. And you're saying Reagor is still he's not in this hypothetical. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Not in this hypothetical, because he's still going to be out for a week or two.
I just want to make sure. I'd go with Deshaun, Fulgham, and put Ward in the slot.
Yeah.
I still like Deshaun there. I like the promise of Hightower. But I just, Deshaun healthy is still good. Maybe close to great, not quite great anymore, but if he's healthy.
All right. Yeah. That's an interesting, I mean, it'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Cause I think Fulgham is like a young Alshon Jeffrey in a lot of ways, with the way he kind of bodies those balls and stuff. Rob, what are you doing? Who are your starting three receivers for this upcoming match game against the Ravens here? Assuming Deshaun and Alshon are healthy, because it kind of makes it more interesting question.
Well, let me put this out there. If I'm in charge, Alshon's never seeing the field again. So he's immediately out in my mind. I don't want him out there. I don't think he's bringing anything to the table. The only reason he's still on the team is because Howie gave him an awful extension that, you know, put us in a cap nightmare if we cut him. So he's there, but he's never seeing the field if I'm in charge. So he's out. Fulgham is the number one. He's getting the most targets.
Robbie, real quick. I agree. You keep you're doing the Eagles caller thing on 97.5. I think you're putting an R in Fulgham.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It's Fulgham, right? Fulgham. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Fulgham.
It is. I apologize. No disrespect to him. Fulgham. So look, he's my number one. He's starting and he's rocking this the rest of the season until someone beats him otherwise. I'm keeping Ward in the slot. He's a dependable receiver. I agree with Justin. You know, he's done nothing to warrant taking him out. And I actually am with Justin. I got to put Deshaun out there. I think you got to see what's left in the tank. You keep the speed on the outside. It does open things up, but I'll be honest. I am mixing in Hightower. He's going to get significant playing time because I do think he has some potential. So, you know, Deshaun's not going to be in there for every snap. I mean, Doug was load managing him week one. So
yeah, true.
You're going to need Hightower ready to go. And quite honestly, once Reagor is back, he's probably starting for me over Deshaun. He's back in there. So, you know,
there's just
this weird things with our receiver and the roster that we've now seen for 2 years in a row. That's troubling. You know, why is it that these guys that are making an impact with, you know, Ward, Fulgham, why are they taking so many weeks to get into the game? You know, why aren't they being put on the team off the practice squad or starting earlier? It's a little troubling that the team is not identifying this talent earlier. You know, they're better this year, but again, if this guy was so good, why aren't they seeing that in camp? And why wasn't he in week one?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to defend them a little bit, there wasn't a preseason, so maybe they defaulted to the veterans, but it really is an issue. And again, an issue that I think Howie Roseman is a big part of. I think there is too much of the personnel decisions from the front office impacting the personnel decisions on the field. Like, I just couldn't imagine that, you know, I mean, if you're Carson Wentz right now, do you want Alshon Jeffrey out there? Like, no, there's no way he wants him out there. And does Doug want a receiver out there that Carson Wentz doesn't want out there? It's like, no, Doug's a quarterback. Doug, you know, he played in the league a little bit. He's got to understand the chemistry between Travis Fulgham and Carson Wentz right now. They really shouldn't put him out there to me. And now hear me out on this. As far as a lineup construction, we put out Fulgham and Hightower on the outside, and we put Deshaun Jackson in the slot for first down, second down. And then on third down, you bring in your possession guy, Greg Ward, to scoop up some, like, you know, because he's great on third downs. But that speed package, you trot that out there on first and second down. And really, I think that's a tough matchup. And he hasn't played a ton of slot. I mean, he hasn't really played barely at all for us. But I think Deshaun out of the slot is an interesting dynamic. And again, Hightower missed that deep ball. He was out of sync with Wentz on that other deep ball. I mean, you could say Wentz overthrew him, or there, you watching the replay, he kind of like maybe had trouble tracking.
He could have caught that.
It looked like he slowed down a little bit, but then I give him credit for laying out for the ball. So I think Hightower is still a guy that I want to see getting some reps. Obviously you got to play Fulgham, and I think Deshaun brings you enough change of pace that he's worth being out there on the field, but I like him out of the slot there, and then maybe splitting reps and keeping Greg Ward out there on third down, because Greg Ward's, you know, the safeties are going to play up on first and second down to guard the run. So to have Deshaun in the slot, maybe that pushes them back a little bit. They got to respect his speed, give Miles Sanders some easier boxes to run through. Talking quarterback, where the Wentz worry meter, I got him at a four right now. I liked a lot of what I saw. Still missing a couple things, you know, still stuff he has to clean up, but we're starting to see some like wow plays slowly work their way in. We saw some in San Francisco. We saw some here against the Steelers. I got him at a four right now where after that second game, you could put him up there with an eight. So Justin, what are you doing? Where are you at with Wentz right now?
I got him at a six. Kind of where he's at and the way he's played, he didn't do anything really last week to impress me at all. I mean, he was average to below average quarterback. So, and I know his ceiling at this point, right, from 2017, and he's nowhere near that. And he's nowhere playing even, I'd say, semi above average at this point. He threw that pick, which I know was kind of 50-50 him, Ertz, whatever we want to say, but it still wasn't the best throw regardless. And he didn't do anything to impress me. The biggest things that I noticed were that he's not carrying the team in these big moments. If we're talking about the end of half last week, a good quarterback to a great quarterback is able to get us past that midfield marker and then get us into field goal range, and he couldn't pull that off. And then in a crucial situation towards the end of the game, he got us a 57-yard field goal. Like, come on. And well, I don't understand this team and why we expect Elliott to always hit these 57, 58, you know, yarders just because he hit one 61 yarder. I mean, you can't always expect that. You got to be able to do a little bit more with it.
I think Doug gets too conservative in those moments and he starts to play for the long field goal instead of pushing the ball, quite honestly.
But I did like at the end of the half, though, Wentz did go long. He tried that deep pass to Hightower. I think it was on second down. And Hightower unfortunately missed it in the end zone.
And then how funny was that? Our Sega Whiteside finally comes up with a catch. I mean, I'm fine with Wentz throwing that. It's worth a shot, but then he gets up, signals for the first down as time expires. It was just a classic JJ Arcega moment. Robbie, where are you at with Wentz overall in the season? Like 10 being, we have to trade him, zero being, he's completely on track here.
I'm at a five. I'm like 50-50 mixed bag. I mean, let's be honest. He looked better last week, but he still didn't look fantastic. He's still missing some throws. He is emerging a bit with, you know, Fulgham, obviously. They've got some connection, so there's reason for some positivity. But look, he has nine interceptions, first in the league. He had seven last year, the whole season. I looked up really quick, his average QBR this year, it's 53.2. That is not good. So he's way too inconsistent. And I'll be honest, you can't even blame the O-line. The O-line has been playing pretty well the last few games. And I'll tell you what, again, props to Jordan Mailata, the guy in his second start, played well, not perfect, but he had a tough assignment against Bud Dupree. And he held his own. The guy is proving he can play. Peters should not see the field again, at least not at left tackle. So, you know, with that said, I can't even hold that against Wentz. It's not like the pressure's all over him. He has time to throw. So he just needs to be better. again, I think we slipped into that Doug mode where there was way too many shotguns last week, and he abandoned the rollouts again for whatever reason. But so I'm at 50-50. He has a lot to prove still.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm somewhat optimistic in that he's trending in the right direction with still a lot of room to go. Speaking of quarterback trending in the wrong direction, Dak Prescott out for the season. I know you guys were really shooken up by the news. I took it in stride. It's a there's some gladiators out there. I was, you know, I I wasn't as empathetic perhaps, but the Dak injury. I mean, does that give you more hope as an Eagles fan for this season? I feel like really it's not a huge change for the Cowboys because really their issue is just the defense. So the offense maybe had a chance of carrying them, but now Andy Dalton, I mean, yeah, he's not horrible, but he's certainly worse than Dak Prescott. So I think it's going to even be put that much more pressure on their offense to kind of carry this horrific defense. So again, it's crazy to be optimistic at 1-3-1, but I still think we have, I mean, there's even like some of those advanced analytics say we still have the best shot to win the division, which is kind of crazy considering our record. But Justin, how does the Dak injury impact your view on the season moving forward?
I mean, first of all, I do feel bad for Dak. I'm just going to put that out there as an Eagles fan because we're always thought of as being horrible fans, yada, yada. But anyways, yeah. With that said, it does give me a little bit of hope. I would like to say that as an Eagles fan, you like to think that Dak and say that he's not a good quarterback, but I mean, you know, realistically he was having one hell of a season. So, fortunately for us, the defense just sucked. But he was still able to, you know, win a couple of games there. Or you could talk about a game and a half maybe. But anyways, with that being said, with him being out, it does help a little bit. Andy used to, you know, get a lot of hate when he was a starter. And now all of a sudden, since he's with the Cowboys, everybody thinks he's going to be the second coming. I just don't see it that way. I don't think he's going to help them too much in offense. Remember, there was no preseason. He hasn't gotten first team reps up until this week. So I don't know really what they can put in place for him for the next couple of weeks for him to be that successful and for the team to be that successful, considering that the defense has been their biggest liability this season. So with Dak out now, it just makes it that much harder for them.
Rob, where are you at? I know you and Justin, you guys were really shooken up by the Dak injury news, and you guys were texting me. Will, he's touch and go. Of course, he did make it out. I mean, that was my reaction. Is they talked about him like this guy died, and like watching the Dodger game the next day, and they're doing helicopter shots of the stadium, and be like, this is where it happened yesterday. Dakota Rain went down. I mean, yeah, I feel like a guy gets a bad ankle injury. All right, I mean, if he never walks again, then I'll regret making fun of him. But I mean, he'll be fine. Rob, where are you at with the Dak injury news? And it's got to help the Eagles, right?
All right. Look, first of all, I feel for Dak. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't, you know,
he's a cowboy.
I don't wish anyone to be injured. Obviously, yes, he's a cowboy. Look, it helps us, but does it really help us at the end of the day? I mean, sure. Does it increase our chances to win the division?
Yes.
We have to have a better chance, but you know, okay, we're going to win the division. What, being like 7-9, 8-8? Like, where is it really getting us at the end of the day? It's almost like just creating false hope. So the cynic in me is just like, okay, whatever. And quite honestly, I don't think there's going to be that big of a drop off with Dalton. I mean, he's got such weapons on that offense. If he can just be serviceable and not make mistakes, it may not really change their record that much. You know, and Sean, quite honestly, you know, a concern with how cavalier you were about this injury is we don't need bad karma turning to our team. I think for our listeners out there that don't know, you know, we already know what happened with Sean's fat head. He had a fat head of Carson Wentz in his garage. Turned out the fat head was put on a seam that went over Wentz's knee. Probably no coincidence Wentz had a knee injury that year. So I just don't need Sean deflecting any more negative karma on our team.
Well, see, I guess I feel like our karma is just beyond repair, and that would the injury gods have just smited us so heavily that there's no turning around, and we may as well just look into the sun and laugh at the injury gods and all the potential injury mojo. All right, moving on to the Ravens game, stock matchups. What we got to do defensively, offensively, but just one key matchup each side of the ball. We'll kick things off on the defense. To me, this is an interesting one. I think it's on our defensive ends. They have to maintain contain. Like they have to, if we're not going to spy Lamar Jackson, we got to figure out some way to let him not kill us with his legs. I'm obviously really worried about Mark Andrews as well, but I think my key matchup is the defensive ends, you know, maintaining the pass rush and not letting him get outside and pick up some easy rush yards. Although I do think Lamar's knee is bothering him, but yeah, that's my key matchup on the defensive side of the ball. Rob, give us a key matchup on the defensive side of the ball.
Sean stole my thunder a little bit there, but look, the obvious answer one would think is it's on the secondary, or you know, don't let him throw, but he's not the best thrower out there. So it's on the defensive line. They need to contain. We need to actually force him to throw, even against our secondary, which isn't great, but that would still play to our strength if we're forcing him to throw. If we get in the situation where my concern is that we're going to get pressure on him, but we're not going to contain. And if he rolls out of that pocket and gets past that D line, we are in trouble. I mean, you're going to have Nate Gary trying to chase him down. He'll be falling over his feet. It's just going to be a nightmare. We have no linebackers and our secondary suspect. So the key of the game actually is to keep him in the pocket and make him throw. Usually our secondary is the weakness that needs to step up. In this game, we actually want them to get targeted because I think it plays to our strengths.
Yeah, no, it's kind of an interesting workaround, and Lamar hasn't really been lighting it up passing the ball. And you watch that Bengals game, like it seemed to me they kind of blew out Cincinnati more, creating a bunch of turnovers. They got a defensive touchdown, so it was more about that than necessarily anything going on the offensive side of the ball. Justin, throw it you got a key matchup here for the defense against the Ravens.
I don't disagree with you guys with trying to contain Lamar, but I did notice he hasn't been scrambling nearly as much this season as last season, and you might be right about that knee. But I actually went a little bit in a different direction, and you touched on it, Sean. You got to stop Andrews. I mean, he's so silent but deadly. I mean, he's a marquee tight end right now. 18 catches for 5 touchdowns this season so far. Last game, he had 6 catches for 56 yards with the touchdown. So, I mean, he's going to be key. That's how Lamar gets his confidence with his throwing. And they can open up the field a little bit more with him, especially in the red zone, though. You got to shut down Andrews anytime you're around there. I mean, 5 touchdowns in 5 games, that's pretty impressive. So, just shut down Andrews, and I think we could possibly get something going.
Well, yeah. And that's where, who is it? Will Parks, I think that guy they're talking about that's coming back. Supposedly he kind of would be playing the Malcolm Jenkins role and would be guarding a lot of these tight ends. So hopefully, I mean, knock on wood, he should be. I think there's an outside chance he plays Sunday, but probably more realistically Thursday against the Giants. So, yeah, that could be an interesting one. And that'll certainly help the defense, but you're right. We can't let the tight ends kill us. They've been brutal this season. As far as a matchup on offense, man, I'm optimistic. The Fulgham connection keeps going, but Zach Ertz needs to just wake the fuck up, and whatever Wentz needs to do to make that happen, whatever the coaches need to do to make that happen. He just can't have a 4 catches for 9 yards game. He needs to have an impact. He needs to get a touchdown. He needs to get his confidence up. So yeah, I think Zach Ertz versus that secondary needs to happen this week. Justin, what do we got to see on offense?
I think we just need to convert on third down. I mean, it's something that we've been struggling with a little bit here and there. But also with the Ravens defense, that's how they've been winning games. I mean, they've been holding teams to 36% on third down efficiency. So, I mean, and teams have only converted 33% of their fourth downs against the Ravens. So if we get to those third down, fourth down situations, we got to be able to convert. That would be the biggest thing.
Yeah. I mean, third downs, we actually did pretty good last week, but certainly have struggled with over the season and keeping that Ravens offense off the field and not letting them have long drives, I think will be helpful because it's easier to force the three and outs with the healthy, like a fresh defensive line. Rob, what do you got to see from the offense against this Baltimore defense?
I think we need to see Wentz play a solid game and attack the defense. I think it's really between him and Fulgham. I think those two have something going, and quite honestly, right now they're the only spark on the offense. So if we're going to have a shot to win and to score with the Ravens, it really falls on those two to keep that connection going. I heard reading and listening this week, someone made a good point that, you know, the Ravens are not really a team that are built to play from behind. So if you can jump out on them early, get up by a touchdown or two, you know, it throws their running attack off and forces them to throw and push the ball a little more. And that's not really what they're built for. So that should be our goal. We should attack early. That's going to fall on Wentz and hope we can get a little lead and throw them off their game.
Yeah. And that kind of, to me, is connected to just one more point as far as this, the game. Doug just needs to stick in big balls mode. I mean, if you've ever been a gambler, like playing blackjack or rolling craps, you can't, like, when you're getting on a heater and when you're getting momentum, you can't like stop and think and like, oh wait, should I hit on this 16 against the face start or should I stay? You just, or like, hey, should I bet a little or a lot? It's like, if you're getting hot, you just need to keep pushing and pushing. That's what he did really well in 2017. And we've started to see a little bit of that aggressive Doug, but he hasn't stuck with it the entire game. And I like the going for two. I don't give a shit. And I appreciate the aggressiveness. It gives the team some juice and a little bit of a pop. The 49ers were chasing points that whole game. So I think if we get a touchdown early, I'm fine going for two, stay aggressive, but he needs to carry that through the entire game. And when you have a fourth and four or a 57 yard field goal, you just got to stick with the more aggressive play and not kind of start pussyfooting when it comes to the second half. Kicking over to the fantasy aspect of the game, Thrive Fantasy, of course, we're partnering up with them. Use a promo code SGP, get a free $50 deposit match. Pretty fun. It's like DFS, except you just do over under player props. The only player prop they have for the NFL contest this Sunday related to the Eagles is Lamar Jackson over under 225 passing yards. I'm going under, and it's not that I'm optimistic about the defense. Just looking at his numbers, he just doesn't throw for that many passing yards. So I think there's, regardless of who you think is going to win this game, I think under 225.5 isn't a crazy angle. And I do think they're going to limit his contact and limit the shots he takes by using that three-headed monster they have at running back. So I like under here. Justin, are you co-signing or are you taking the over?
I'm co-signing. I mean, right now he's averaging 180 yards a game. The only thing I worry about is maybe if we do get up by a decent amount, he's going to be passing a lot more, but that's a good worry to have. So I would just take the under here.
Rob, how say you? Are you on team under? Or are you going over?
I'm going over. I think the under sounds like the obvious play, but I think they're going to have a game plan. They're going to attack our secondary. You know, why wouldn't they? And I think he's going over that number.
Yeah. Well, Justin and I are huge squares. We always take the obvious bet, but I'm going to hang on to it. As far as fantasy guys in general, you know, if you could have gotten Fulgham on your waiver wire, I think he's definitely worth it. I don't see how he's not involved in these games moving forward. I think it's an interesting stack to do in DraftKings. Wentz is 5,600, which again, very low price. And I wouldn't be surprised. I think as a fantasy play, he really could pay dividends if he gets you some of those rushing yards or rushing touchdown like he got in that 49ers game. And he, you know, threw for a couple touchdowns. Fulgham, you know, he was at 3,000 the past 2 weeks. They finally bumped him up to 4,400, but I think target share, it still makes sense to do that. Wentz Fulgham stack. I mean, Fulgham coming off a 34.2 fantasy point performance. I don't know if he'll do that, but I still think at 4,400, he's a good value. Rob, any players in this game jump out at you from a fantasy point of view?
You know, I think, you know, Wentz probably isn't a bad play. That's not bad. I actually like, if he plays, which you're not going to know later, I would probably take a flyer on Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's at, but you know, maybe he gets a couple looks coming back. So I'd take a flyer on him if he's not too expensive.
Well, that's interesting, cause he is on DraftKings. He's priced at $3,900. And I mean, that's even below, that's below Fulgham by $500. And yeah, you're right. It's a bit of a long shot, but if you're trying to take down the millionaire maker, which obviously I became, I got really close that one time. I don't know if I ever brought it up, but Justin, you were there, you experienced the magic, but
I did.
You need a couple of guys in this, in the 3,000 to 4,000 range that have a chance at getting a big touchdown and getting you nice, nice points there. So $3,900 for DeSean Jackson over at DraftKings. How about you, Justin? Any fantasy leans from this game?
You know what? He might be a little expensive this week, but he's definitely kryptonite against us. He's the type of player who you know, just stacks up horribly for us. Would be Andrews. If you're looking for a Raven there, but then I would go with, I know. But then
you know
I would
he plays
also,
for the Ravens, right?
Yeah, I know. But you know, that's where I would put it at. But then for us, I'd go with Wentz. I think if we're gonna win, it's gonna be on Wentz this week. I think he could do it. He's started to feel the flow a little bit more. Hopefully, has what looks to be a lot more confidence. So, I would pick Wentz in this case.
All right. Moving over to the Eagles nest. One player we think is going to step up and make a difference in this game. Rob, you have the honors kicking it off. Who are you predicting to be the player of the game for the Eagles this week?
Fletcher Cox.
Ooh. All right.
I think he's going to step up. I think he's going to disrupt a little on defense. You know, along with the rest of the line, I think it's going to come down to them.
Yeah. I mean, again, optimistic about the defensive line. Felt like they got some pressure against Pittsburgh. Would have liked to seen a little bit more, but again, I think the reason we have a shot at this game is that it's a classic look ahead spot for the Ravens. They just played a division game against the Bengals where they blew them out. Now they go on the road to Philadelphia, where we have 7,500 of the drunkest, angriest fans and craziest fans in attendance, and they have the Steelers coming up ahead. So it's an easy opportunity for them to overlook this game and maybe get a wake up call from the defense, who traditionally has played better at home, and maybe the energy from the fans helps carry them. I like the defensive line angle. Justin, what are you doing here? Who are you picking to have the big game for the Eagles?
I'm picking a guy that up until this season, you would have never thought needed to step up. But I think Ertz could step up finally this game. Haven't really seen much of him this season. And I think he could be the difference. I think he's going to pull his head out of his ass for once and come up with some big plays for us this week, especially with some more attention, obviously going to be put on Fulgham, you would assume. So,
yeah, no, and maybe that's what happens, because the Ravens do have more physical corners, and maybe they'll be able to rough up Fulgham a little bit, get him off his spot, you know, mess with the rookie a little bit. I'm optimistic Fulgham, even though in this game and long term, but playing that Ertz angle certainly makes sense. I'm going to go, you know what? I'm going to go Brandon Graham here to have the big game. I think BG, he's always consistently getting pressure. He'll get some sacks. He's actually having a pretty good season overall, but I think this could be a nice game for Brandon Graham, and the defensive line in general feels like a bounce back spot for them after a somewhat disappointing performance against the Steelers. I mean, he's still getting QB hits, and he had four against the Bengals. He's every game he's had a QB hit or a tackle for loss, with the exception of San Francisco, no tackle for loss there. But I think this week he has a big week, and he's been playing like 70 or 80% of the snaps. I think he's the guy that has the breakout game, and I'm predicting Brandon Graham will create a turnover, a strip sack, whatever it is, he will be involved. And I think he has a big game, and that brings me to the final score prediction. I'm going to call it right now. over at mybookie.ag. They're an 8-point favorite? Doesn't matter. Or sorry, the Ravens are 8-point favorite. Doesn't matter. The Eagles aren't going to need it. They're going to win outright. Give it to me. They get 30 points for the first time. 31-27 Eagles. Justin, what are you doing?
I think this is actually a good matchup for us. And I'm going to kind of go with what Rob said earlier. If we can get ahead, then they're going to be fighting from behind. And I think we can do that. So I went 28-21 Eagles.
I like it. Rob, what do you got?
Sorry, guys. I think we're going to play the valiant fight, but I don't think we're pulling it out. I got 28-24 Ravens. Good news is they are going to cover the spread.
Well, Rob, you know this is an Eagles podcast.
Hey, man, I got to keep it real.
Well, and I'm bringing up a little trend. The Eagles are 1-0 in games where Rob has picked against them. So, Justin, we're all we got. We're all we need. Load up the Wentz wagon. We're sneaking a victory, and I don't think anyone's going to see this coming. Outright victory for the Birds. Let's go, baby. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green. For Justin, for Rob, go Birds.
Go Birds. Birds.